Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the official podcast. I know usually you look at the four of us as just this beacon of joy and enthusiasm, but today with a heavy heart, we have to announce that Jackson has quit the podcast. Honestly, I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did. We all saw this day coming. It's not easy to survive in this Thunderdome, and we respect Jackson's decision to move on. I thought it'd be in his honor and a tribute to him to make this episode our favorite memories of Jackson. So, Andrew, if you'll kick off the honor.
My favorite was when he quit the podcast that one time. It really, really upped the quality of the show, and I don't know, it made our lives better. Like, do you remember when we had that exclusivity clause in the contract? Jackson quit, and then he tried to join a different show, but then we got to sue him, and we made millions. That was pretty great.
Which do you think is harder, the harder pill to swallow, Jackson's departure or Alex's? Because right now I'm kind of torn.
That's a good point. I mean, I cried for like days over Alex. Jackson, I think I just kind of thought about it for like 10 minutes. How about you guys?
Yeah, I think he'll be back. I think he's just having a little episode because we just kept making fun of him for like two episodes in a row. I feel like the whole thing has been blown a little out of proportion. The fans got the wrong idea. I've been getting a lot of messages about this. Apparently he has been just having these weird meltdowns on Snapchat about us. I reread our chat conversations too. Like, we just, that argument we had, it was not that bad. I really don't know.
I just don't think we needed to bring his mother into it. I think we may have crossed the line. Lisa's always been such a sweet woman. Oh, yeah. The porn she sends him's always been great.
Always rescuing animals, doing good for her community. Jackson, on the other hand, I mean, what did he do? Talked on a microphone. That was it.
He was so angry that I implied he might be secret, like hiding a disability from us. It's like I'm scrolling up in our chat again. He says like, oh, this chat was just amazing. He's being sarcastic with us. When I'm in the call with you guys, we're all laughing and having fun. But when I leave, y'all just start saying that I'm actually retarded and actually stupid. And then it's incredibly boring until I rejoin the call. I said, that's not true, dude. And he says, how? I like it when you guys are joking, but I don't like it when you say, wow, he really is stupid. He has no self-awareness. The whole episode, Andrew constantly points out that he seriously doesn't like me and that he doesn't want to talk to me.
I gotta speak my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. He got unreasonably offended. I just figured, you know, he likes Legos, he likes Star Wars. He might, you know, he has so much low self-esteem. It might be a real thing that he would hide from us if he did have autism.
Thanks, which isn't something we
judge him for. Yeah, is that Jackson doing that or the autism doing that? Like,
are they one and the same?
I think you might be right, though, Kai. I have on good conscience a strong inkling he might come back.
Yeah, maybe even by the end of next week, he might be rejoining us. Who knows?
Yeah, there's really no telling.
Yeah. I know. I'll take a stand on this one. I'll just say it. I want him back. I really do. I miss him already.
Come home, Jackson.
If he apologizes,
Jackson, if you're out there watching, go ahead.
I stand with Jackson.
I stand with Jackson. That's right, Jackson. If you're out there watching right now, I just need you to know that we care about you and we love you and we hope you make it home safe. And God knows where you've gone, but please come back to us, please. Yeah. We can't do this show without you. We're falling the fuck apart. I almost called Charlie Chuckles. That's not funny at all. Ugh.
Do you remember when we brought iDubbbz on the podcast and Jackson, like a giddy schoolgirl, got so excited? I miss Jackson already, guys.
It was such a great episode, too. We got to have iDubbbz. When,
like, every week we have to cut out him repeatedly bringing up Hitler's book again.
That's true. This is going to be he's always been a bit of a burden on our editor with all of his fucking Mein Kampf tangents and shit.
I'm looking at the fucking topic list here today and Mein Kampf is surprisingly absent. Maybe this will be a nice change of pace. Yeah. No Lego or Star Wars either. Huh. Maybe this will be okay.
Let's be honest, Lego and Star Wars has been the glue that's held the podcast together for like 3 weeks now.
Hey, we gave him a chance. That was very polite. That's, you know, I've noticed that fans have noticed that we keep ripping on Jackson. And last week, we gave him a shot. We told him, rip on us for a change. And he went
too far. He went a little
didn't
too far when he called me short.
Us?
Yeah.
No, he called me short.
Oh, yeah.
Well, take it as a compliment. I don't know.
I think he got a little nasty.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, fuck Jackson. He should stay off the show forever. We don't need him. We can do better without him.
Who would we replace him with if we had to?
I was thinking we bring Alex back on, but he didn't respond. Uh-oh. So maybe that ship has sailed.
Do you think he's washed his hands of us?
I don't know. I think Twitter DMs is one of the most inefficient means of contacting someone on the planet. Yeah. But might as well send a fucking rock and throw it out the window and hope they get it.
So with the whole Alex is the fifth host of the podcast thing and the this and that, do you think by this point every time you message him he's just like, oh fuck, I'm so tired of doing shit for that podcast?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Just a loud sigh. Fuck.
Just it doesn't even want to answer you. Just I know he's gonna ask me about that fucking show.
Yeah, he must be getting a lot of memes. Can't really blame him.
Yeah,
I agree.
But at least who would appropriately be able to replace Jackson in the event he actually quit? I can't really think of anyone like off the top of my head.
I actually think about something similar recently, where it's like if one of us died and we had to permanently replace them, what we would do. It's a good question, well,
what would
I
you,
think.
What would you do?
I'd freak the fuck out and panic and probably, I don't know. I can't think of anyone who could properly replace the show and keep it be the same style and everything. God, that came out awkward. But I can't think of anyone who I think I could slot in and the show would feel the same. It might be as good, but I don't think it would have the same feel to it. Which makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, there's just not a whole lot of people like Jackson, I agree.
Oh, Jackson.
We could find a Lego YouTuber, I'm sure. There has to be a
you
few.
You know, I tried looking up Lego YouTubers. I couldn't find very many. It was actually kind of hard to find like a dedicated Lego Star Wars YouTuber.
Really?
I think Jackson might really be a one of a kind.
Wow.
A unicorn.
Well, there's tons of Star Wars YouTubers. We just have to find one with an interest in Lego.
The two don't mix. It's opposites, Andrew. It's never been done before.
There is no overlap in those audiences at all. None.
Well, there's no overlap with Lego Star Wars and the word cool. That's going to be a rough one.
I disagree. I've seen some great Lego Star Wars. You wouldn't believe the Star Killer bases I've seen.
I think the tipping point for Jackson's absence was when he put, like, photos of his Lego Star Destroyer in our chat and none of us replied. Like, come on, this was cool, right? And it's just crickets.
That was like an actual conversation. Well, not even a conversation, but something actual in the Discord. Jackson's building like this 50,000 piece Lego Star Destroyer, and it took him like, it must be like 15 hours of work, and he'd send update photos. But no one in the chat responded. I did, because he sent them to me. But in the group chat, no one gave a shit. And then he sent something of Terry Crews building a TIE fighter. He's like, see, guys, it's pretty cool, right?
I always love when, like, nerds use successful people's, you know, little cutesy side hobbies as some sort of a vindication. Like when, look at Henry Cavill. He also plays Xbox video games all
man.
Day.
Thank you for bringing that up. I was doing my thing where I look at like the top posts on Reddit and make fun of them and shit. One of the highest rated posts on R Gaming a week ago was just an article about, hey guys, Henry Cavill plays video games too. And that was it. That was the entire content of it.
That's fucking awesome. I didn't know that. Holy shit.
Who
just
cares?
Like Henry Cavill.
Yeah, who gives a fuck? Cavill. I still don't even know how it's pronounced, but there's like, you just know he just spoke to his PR manager and he said, okay, Henry, if they ask you, you got to be relatable, okay? If they ask you, you tell them you love PlayStation Pro 4, you played all of The Witchers, okay? And if you want to be really quirky, say you like Mass Effect 2. And Henry's sitting there like, all right, got it. PlayStation Pro Witcher 4 PlayStation effect.
Even if we go down the route of not being a fake personality, like, let's say Henry Cavill is a giant gamer and he loves gaming and he plays it all the time and it's all he does in his free time. Who the fuck cares? Like, if the article was Henry Cavill talks about his acting career or talks about things he has experience in or interesting things, great. But I don't give a shit that Henry Cavill occasionally turns on a PlayStation. How is that an article?
I decided to look it up because this truly was mind-blowing to hear this, so I had to fact-check it. I see why this is number one on R Gaming, because he was asked which is better, PS4 or Xbox One, and Cavill said, and you get this, this is what he said,
Kidding. Go ahead.
My God, Cavill said PC.
Wow.
PC Master Race.
Wow.
The PC Master Race.
He's just like us.
That really subverted my expectations.
I don't know why you'd shit on that, Andrew. That's pretty fucking huge. You're right.
I can't. That deserves an entire article in the top post on
R
Gaming.
I'm
going to
repost that on R Gaming right now, actually.
You should. You'll get shadow banned. It's great.
You should tweet it. Like, society looks at gamers like we're all terrible people, but this is our true face. This is peak gamer.
Ooh, like one of those memes. This is what they think of when they see gamers, and then it's like Joker. But this is what we actually are.
And then Superman? Oh, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
That'd be so perfect.
What society thinks I do, and it's the Joker. What my mom thinks I do, and it's Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Finally got around to seeing the Joker, by the way. Good movie.
What'd you think?
I like it. Good movie. Didn't have to be the Joker, in my opinion. Yeah. It's funny how you can actually take a good character and make it a classy movie, and it turns out well. It's surprising you don't even have to give him goofy, you know, Teletubby suits and such.
Yeah. That's, I think I said that on the podcast, where if the movie was just called Clown and had nothing to do with the Joker, people would say it's like the greatest one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah.
Not have that whole fucking controversy of gamers rise up, I'm going to go to the theater because I want to get shot. No thanks.
Yeah. That shit was pretty wild. What a wacky time in American history, right?
We're in a weird fucking place right now, man. The things that we're afraid of and constantly talking about is kind of goofy when you think about it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Fucking, you have a child right now who's famous for just screaming about climate change.
Greta. Fuck. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you have a movie that people are afraid of going to because they think they'll actually die. Like, back in the fucking 50s, people were like, that movie's too scary, you'll die in the theater. Now it's, you'll legitimately fucking die because someone's going to shoot it up.
Yeah, so I like joke. God, it's just not the same without Jackson to make fun of. And now I feel bad because that's not his whole purpose.
But he got really good at it.
Jackson started as so much more, a symbol.
No, so the thing with people like Jackson is that they have a lot of... So I make a joke, all the shit we said at the beginning about he has low confidence. Like that chat log that I read wasn't real, in case anybody was about to get angry and go on fucking Reddit and seriously get angry at us for making fun of him. I made that shit up, but I genuinely think people like him have more above average confidence or very low confidence. It's one of the two, and I can't figure it out usually with these people because... Most people can't take that amount of ripping without getting genuinely pissed off. And Jackson doesn't seem to be genuinely getting pissed off, which is, I like people like that.
We love you, Jackson, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
I hope. I hope Jackson
To be able
back.
To take that joke week after week and that sort of stuff. he has never pulled us aside, like, off the show or anything like that, telling us, hey, guys, it's actually starting to hurt my feelings for realsies. It's never happened. He always just takes the fucking joke on the chin, comes back the next week and repeats it. So, thanks, Jackson.
What if Jackson's secretly depressed and really, really just down? What would we do?
What a fun thought, Andrew. Yes. What would we do?
Well, what would we do? We got to be good friends. But we'd have like a Jackson-centered episode where instead we talk about like the good things of Star Wars and Lego and that's it.
I like how that's the only personality you can give him. He's depressed because we don't like Star Wars and Legos.
Hey, I know a lot about Jackson. Like,
he likes Australian.
He likes dinosaurs. Yeah, that's another big one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, get this. So, yeah, since we're dropping the facade, yeah, Jackson obviously didn't quit. It was just a joke. He just couldn't make it today because he's traveling to America. And in the time he's over here, there's a live-action Jurassic World show that I wanted to take him to where people dress up in dinosaur costumes and roam around an arena. I thought that'd make his, like, fucking life.
Ooh. Yeah. You should go to Australia and he'll take you to Urugara, the rock, or whatever that spirit is. Ooh. That they worship.
Yeah, get like some Frozen 2 shit into the unknown. I get to meet that giant fucking rock.
You could hike around it. You could look at it. I don't
take a photo of it so you can remember your time at the rock.
Ask it to bring some rain.
Yeah. Put your hand on it, maybe. I don't know if that's illegal.
Scrape some dust off.
Yeah, get some rock dust.
Ooh, yeah, a little souvenir.
That'd be great. Take a selfie with the rock.
Vandalize it, just etch into it. Charlie is here.
Yeah, plant an American flag on it. Drop a cheeseburger next to it.
Claim it for America.
Open a Starbucks on it. That sounds about American.
Amen, no. Baby.
Looks like Doug is here. D-boy. D-dog, you there?
Did somebody say cheeseburger?
Oh, you've been here for a little bit. I had the cheeseburger summoned you.
Yeah, Doug, are you recording yourself?
I am.
Okie dokie. Thanks for filling in last minute.
Hey, so what did I miss?
Jackson quit the show. What do you think of
Jackson
that?
Jackson quit.
Oh, that's too bad. I liked him.
Yeah, we all did. We were just going over our favorite memories of him. What's your favorite memory of Jackson, Doug?
When he said he liked me.
That was my favorite, too. That's the one I said.
Yeah. I like when he said he liked Doug, too. It was great.
Yeah, like bridging that? Two worlds, like a generational gap.
I feel like you're retconning Jackson's lore here. I don't remember that.
It's putting words in his mouth. I remember when Jackson pulled me aside and said I was his favorite fat man. Oh, God, I love that guy.
Well, that sounds like something I had said. How did you guys' Christmas go, Doug? How'd yours go?
Mine was about as uneventful as you could get. Just me and my wife sitting at the house watching the walls, playing with the dogs.
That sucks, man. That sounds boring.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's fucking miserable.
Were your kids not there?
No, my kids are all grown and moved out. They went they live in other parts of the country.
So they did their own Christmases.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Was that your decision? Like, was your wife trying to do something and you said no, or did you guys just mutually decide not to do anything?
Yeah, we just mutually decided not to do anything. Christmas Eve, we went to a casino and played some games for a bit. It really didn't do anything. Went and bought her a dog yesterday, another fucking dog. We got four dogs here now.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah, what the hell? I remember you just picked up a puppy like a couple of months ago.
Yeah. That was a little baby pit bull. He's not a little baby anymore. Yesterday, we picked up a teacup chihuahua.
So that's a good mix.
Where do you draw the line? Dogs even get along?
I don't know. They do. So our oldest dog is a pretty good-sized pit, and he only doesn't like large female dogs who he thinks is trying to encroach on his territory.
Does it have to be female?
Yeah, he doesn't have a problem with other male dogs. He's probably gay or something. Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's really weird.
Huh. But, if it's a dog that's smaller than him, then he's very, very lovey and protective.
Aw. But then, so where are you ever going to draw the line with your wife hoarding dogs? Where is this going to stop?
Oh, I don't mind. It's not too much of a problem right now.
Okay, but still, how many dogs are too much for you?
Four.
But you cave. That's adorable.
It's really hard to say no to a dog. I can see where Doug's coming from. Once you see a dog and it needs a home, it's like, fuck. Well, I gotta make room now.
Yeah, that first pit that we got here recently, anyway, he was a rescue. So he was tied up outside for all of 2 years on like a 2-foot chain. So we were really worried about, you know, bringing him into the house and how he was going to act. But yeah, he's turned around quite well. Very loving.
That's fun.
That's nice.
That's a nice Christmas story right there.
Yeah. Saving animals. What about you, Andrew? What did you do for Christmas?
I went to my aunt's house where I've been going for the last, oh God, I don't know, 20 years every Christmas.
You guys have like a tradition?
Yeah, we get a lot of the family together over there. Just that's where we do Christmas.
Mm.
It was nice. It's not really a exciting tale, but it's just, you know, my whole family just gets together and we do Christmas there and watch Die Hard, and that's about it.
Oh, that is a good movie.
Some real boring Christmases out here. Goddamn. I drove 18 hours up to Pennsylvania for my Christmas.
Ooh.
Why?
Yeah.
Was that trip any modicum of fun at all?
Kind of. There's this really podunk weird amusement park that you pass going through South Carolina, and we pass it every time we go up, called Fort Pedro's South of the Border. And this year I wanted to make a stop to check it out because it looks dilapidated and like hardly held together. There's like at least 100 signs for 50 miles all like promoting it. So I wanted to see it firsthand, and I thought it'd be totally abandoned, but it wasn't, unfortunately. But we went in, and it's these giant fiberglass statues of a man named Pedro with a giant sombrero, and he's got like these weird animals scattered around the fucking campgrounds. There's this motel that probably has on any given day a couple murders, muggings. There's an amusement park section with these rides that are totally shut down. It literally looks like Modern Warfare's carnival map, you know, the one 50,000 people used to live here, now it's a ghost town. That's what Fort Pedro looks like.
You know, and that's based off a real place, right?
Yeah, it's probably based off Fort Pedro.
So you just checked it out and then left? There wasn't anything to do there?
No, I wanted it to be empty, but it wasn't because of all the Christmas travelers that got stranded because of bad weather. Oh, so wow. I didn't really want to explore with all those people there. There was dogs walking around that clearly had mange and shit, and I didn't want my dogs around that. And there was just, it looked absolutely disgusting, the people there. So we didn't stop for any length of time, but it was definitely cool to see the area for at least a single fragment of a second. That's about the only fun the drive had.
Did you see the Sombrero Tower?
Yeah, so the Sombrero Watchtower was definitely there. It's really high. Yeah. Didn't go on it or anything, though.
I only ask because on Google Maps, they took the time to mark that specifically as a landmark.
Mm-hmm. Shit's wild. Yeah. I definitely want to go back when it's empty.
The Sombrero Watchtower, Andrew, is that just one of those towers where you climb up to the top for a good view?
It's actually an elevator. Oh. It's like Dr. Doom's tower, but Pedro style.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, Doug. Remember Dr. Doom's tower?
You know, that's I must have missed that episode of that show, whatever that was.
What the fuck do you mean?
Dr. Doom's tower? It's a great show.
The reason why I asked was when we evacuated from North Carolina from the hurricane, we ended up in Virginia, and we were on the side of a mountain, just kind of bored, waiting to be able to go back home. And we ended up in this shitty town. I bet there was maybe 4,000 people in the town, but their big attraction there was a lookout tower on the side of the mountain. So me and my daughter attempted to go up it. And I got about halfway before I pussied out. But, you know, looking at the footings of this tower, the bolts and everything were coming out of the concrete. I think it was about 200 feet up in the air.
fuck that.
Wow. Yeah, I got about halfway up, and as we're walking up, I keep asking my daughter, like, so have you had enough yet? You ready to go back? No, let's go up some more. All right. Have you had enough yet? You ready to go back? and then we finally got like I said, about halfway up, and I said, so what do you think? You want to keep going? She goes, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. We should probably go back down.
Jesus.
Where was that? That wasn't Fort Pedro's, was it? Couldn't have been.
No, like I said, it was in Virginia.
Oh, gotcha.
Was this when your house got swept away? Or was this a difference? Okay. Mm.
So the funny thing is my daughter is very, very, I guess you'd say, left-leaning in her political views. And we walked into the gift shop there at that tower. And right when you walk in, there was this t-shirt up on the wall for sale. And it was a big Confederate flag that said, "Never apologize for being right."
Jesus Christ. That's some super Virginia shit. We passed through that area on the way back down. There's this giant fucking Confederate flag planted almost in the goddamn interstate. It is wild, that area.
You didn't happen to pass through Kentucky, did you?
No.
Man, you missed the Colonel Sanders watching over his country.
Yeah, I didn't see that, unfortunately. Yeah. Just these fucking Confederate flags planted across the interstate, like right next to it.
Did you see the zombie children on the way?
What do you mean, the zombie children?
There's this one billboard. Like, there's obviously a ton of religious billboards on the way, you know, through the southern states of, like, anti-abortion and repent or you'll die and this and that. There's this one, though, that's kind of, like, infamous. It's about the rapture coming, and it's like, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell and die and burn. And, like, the top half of the billboard is, like, heaven and, like, Jesus floating around, but then the bottom half is a depiction of hell, and it's two children very realistically photoshopped to look dead, and fucking, like, flesh is melting off of them, and it's disturbing as shit.
Can't say I saw that, unfortunately. What a shame.
That's awesome. I never forgot it. Yeah.
So... did you get her the t-shirt, Doug, or yourself?
No, she wasn't even interested in being inside that gift shop. Uh-huh. So what was funny was it was later that day. We were in a Walmart there in Virginia, and she looks at me. She goes, "Dad, how come all these people look the same? They all had the same facial features." And then it dawned on her that they probably don't go outside of that circle to breed.
the reality check.
Oh, man.
So, did you hear... go ahead, Kyle.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to ask Charlie, since he just did the trip, did you hear a lot of interesting accents?
A little. No. I mean, it's not like we stopped to mingle with the locals. Like, I hid from people. That trip is scary, and the people around there are scary. Absolutely not.
I only ask because... when Juliana and I were moving her back down from Chicago, we stopped at a fucking Culver's, which is a fast food restaurant, for those of you who don't have it, in, I want to say Georgia, but I don't remember exactly. But it was just interesting because every single person around us had a southern accent. So technically we became the people with the accent.
No,
I just think that's cute. Yeah, I wonder if something like that happened to you.
No.
Culture shock.
No, not at all. I went to New York, though, around Christmas. That was kind of a shock. It's just kind of a weird little city full of really bad drivers and a lot of activity.
Where at New York?
The actual city. Like, just Times Square area and the shit around there.
Yeah, we last Thanksgiving, we went to the Macy's Parade. And that was a fucking nightmare.
I've heard that that's disturbingly... jam-packed and hard to enjoy.
Yeah, again, I didn't really have a whole lot of say in the trip. It was, we're going to New York and you're gonna have fun. All right, do that then.
I feel like you're the pushover in the family.
Yeah, this really feels like your wife's wearing the pants around here.
Well, no shit. There's a reason why I'm such an asshole when I'm in this room by myself.
Hey, you always take it out on me.
He's going to start whispering in the mic. Sorry, guys. Wife's home. I got to be quiet. Yeah.
She also told me to apologize to you guys. Have you done Times Square for the ball drop, the New Year's Eve? Either of you?
No, I would never do that. That's like a million people bathing in filth.
Yeah, it actually is. I was reading something recently that some people, to get a good spot, like close to the cameras or close to the ball, they wait for so long that they actually have to wear diapers because they can't get out of the crowd to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I think they quit doing porta potties and all that.
Yeah.
And of course, the businesses there don't let you in. So, yeah, you're right. That's when you're watching them on TV, just know that everybody's sitting there soiled in their own shit.
Yeah. Just to get a good view of that ball drop.
What's the worst place the three of you have ever been?
The porta potty at this gas station on the way home. It was like a fucking horror scene. There's a special kind of evil that's just ingrained in some people's DNA that fucking compels them to take a shit in a porta potty. Have you no honor at all to shit in a porta potty?
In public in general.
Fucking monster. I don't mind people shitting in porta potties. What I mind is they shit on like the seats and the little back seat behind it.
No, like shitting in a porta potty has to be the most disrespectful thing a human being can do. I'd rather someone spit in my fucking face than take a shit in a porta potty that I'm about to use. I mean, because it's not going anywhere. You're basically just taking a shit on the floor in an area that I'm going to trap myself into piss. Like, just hold it, wait for like an actual toilet to flush it. You fucking monster.
What if you're...
I don't even know... Like, I don't think I could get myself to shit in a porta potty.
Exactly.
Just the thought of it is so disgusting.
That's right. It's fucking gross.
Sometimes you have to do it. Sometimes you can't hold the shit.
I'm 45 years old, and I've never had to shit in a porta potty. I've never found myself in a situation where I was okay with pooping in a box.
Well, neither have I. I can't imagine. I don't think anyone... I can't say anyone, but I find it very unlikely that a lot of people have to shit so badly that they do it in a porta potty, especially in a porta potty next to a gas station, which is walking distance from a gas station across the street.
I would rather just pull my car aside on the road and just take a shit on the side of the road in the bushes.
Yeah, exactly.
Just you in nature. Have
an unbelievably high level of shamelessness to take a shit in a porta potty.
See, that's how I feel about public toilets in general. I get in there, I look like a ballet dancer trying not to touch any of the walls or the toilet stalls or anything, and just I get in, I unzip, I piss, I push the flush thing handle with my foot, and
same.
I prance out of there, I wash my hands, and I get the hell out of there, trying to, again, on my way out, not to touch the door. It's so disgusting.
Do the same people thing. Are so you ever worried that while you're one-footedly hitting the handle, you're just going to slip and slam your head and fucking bleed out on the dirty bathroom public floor?
Oh, you just reminded me of something that made me real mad. Something that made me super fucking mad in New York. I had to shit so badly, and there was like a three-hour drive from New York back to my girlfriend's parents' place, so I was going to shit in a public toilet. Never a porta potty, though. And I went into some fucking Marriott hotel thing, like the only toilet for miles in the city that wasn't occupied and destroyed. And I went in, and there's piss all over the toilet seat, which is the worst thing in the world when you have to take a shit. So I grab the toilet paper and I wipe it down like the fucking custodian. And then when I finish wiping it down, I realize I used the last of the toilet paper to wipe the fucking seat off. So I sat down so disappointedly, and then I immediately start opening my sphincter, and I'm about to have this euphoria of shit blast, and then I notice there's no toilet paper, so I have to abort mission. So I basically just clean that toilet for someone else. Made me so fucking mad.
Man,
I was so mad.
You reminded me of a good shit story. Did I tell the story where I almost shit my pants at IKEA?
I can't say I've heard that one.
Oh,
I haven't heard that tale.
How have I forgotten about this story? So when my girlfriend moved here, we were looking for furniture at IKEA. So, you know, we were driving kind of early in the morning. So I'd got coffee. And I don't drink coffee that often because normally it makes me poop or kind of upsets my tummy, but never to a bad degree. Some kind of mythical fucking concoction I got from Dunkin' Donuts just destroyed my stomach to the point where by the time we got to IKEA, I was literally sprinting into the store to find the bathroom because I was going to shit my pants. And as soon as we get to IKEA, I sit in the stall and I take a shit and I'm done. And it's immensely satisfying and it takes forever because it's a massive fucking disgusting shit. And then I look and there's no toilet paper. And I think, okay, what do I do? So first I take a photo of it and I text my girlfriend. And then I take a photo of the emergency assist button that they have in the IKEA bathrooms. And I ask her, would this be too much? Could I hit this for toilet paper? And she said, no, don't do that. That's for like if you're elderly or you fall or you're handicapped or something.
Fuck that. Hit the fucking dial the Powerpuff Girls, man. That is an emergency. That's when you use those secret agent custodians.
So what ended up happening? What ended up happening is I stood up and I clenched as hard as I could to like contain any shit particles still left on my ass. Thankfully, it was a pretty clean poop. But and then I put my pants on and I peeked out the bathroom stall. And when I waited until traffic died down and it was just two dudes washing their hands and like fucking Splinter Cell, I whipped into the stall next to me and closed the door and just got to sit in there and wipe my ass. But it was a nice little fucking tactical maneuver just to have a shitty ass and have to, like, stealth my way into the next stall and hope no one saw me.
I'd never feel clean again if I had to do that.
Yeah.
I was ready to burn the underwear, but thankfully somehow everything looked clean. I inspected, like, real carefully. There was nothing.
Well, you should still wash it.
Oh, no. When we got home, I fucking like changed my entire outfit, I think.
Still but... wearing that pair of underwear to this day. My favorite pair.
Hey, they're lucky.
So I don't remember how old I was when this happened. I know I was old enough not to shit myself, but I'd put it at probably roughly 18 or 19 years old. Me and a buddy of mine were walking. We were walking through a field to an unoccupied rental house that his parents owned. We were going to go dig through the garage for something. So anyway, we were walking through the field and I went to fart. And when I fart, I shit. But I wasn't entirely sure if I shit. So the only way that I knew to check at the time, because I was like 30% sure that I shit. So I reached my hand back in the between my underwear and my ass crack. And pulled out this big glob of shit.
That is the most disgusting way to confirm. I would have rather bent over in front of my friend and had him look for me. That is abhorrent.
Fuck. So I'm sitting there in the middle of this field, probably a half a mile away from the house that we were going to. And I'm sitting there just holding this shit in my hand. And I start flinging it, you know, like trying to fling it off, rubbing my hands in the grass and everything. And so I end up doing the shitty walk for the other half a mile to get to the house. And we get there and I go to clean up and the water to the house is shut off.
Oh.
So I go down in the basement and I strip down and I was wearing tidy whities, you know, Fruit of the Looms. And I take them and I clean as much as myself and my asshole as I can with them underwear. And I didn't know what to do with the shitty underwear. So over in the corner, there was this chest freezer that was, you know, there was no power to it. So I take the shitty underwear and I throw it in the chest freezer, put my pants back on, and then go over to a neighbor's house and wash my hands. So
what did you tell the neighbors, though? That's not like an easy sell. Like, I pooped my pants. Can I use your sink?
No, it was a friend of his family. Oh, I just went in to use the bathroom. So fast forward like 10 years, that buddy of mine, Jeff, so him and his dad were, the house had been rented by his uncle for that last decade. And he had died. So they were in there cleaning it out, getting it ready for the next renter. So his dad is down in the basement and he's looking around and he opens up that chest freezer. And he looks at my buddy and he looks down and them shitty underwear are still in there. And he looks down and he goes, "Your uncle was one crazy son of a bitch."
he opened the forbidden sarcophagus. What a shame.
Wouldn't that shit rot and like gain life after so many years?
Unless they turn the freezer on and they like froze it like a popsicle. I imagine if it was like totally no powered for that long, it'd be completely rotten. Ugh. Molding, maggots.
Ugh.
Well, my friend was down there and he said you could very clearly see that it was shitty underwear. So
beautifully preserved. What a fossil.
You should have been like, "Can I have that back now?"
I've been looking for those. Your fucking uncle stole them from me, took a shit in them, and threw them in a box.
Oh, gosh, what was my uncle doing with teenage boy-sized undies? Shit covered. That's weird, man. You reminded me, Doug, you were going to tell me, a while back you told me, since you mentioned your friends, a story about how you and him went to Las Vegas with all the money you had. You were going to run away from home or some shit. Wasn't that a thing?
No. So back when I was a raging alcoholic, me and a buddy of mine had kind of given up on life, and we had decided that we were going to go out leaving Las Vegas style. We were going to go hitchhike to Vegas with as much money as we could get and then just see how long we would survive, either drink ourselves to death or drugs or whatever the fuck it was going to be that was going to take us out. We said our goodbyes to all the people around the area that we were living and decided to have one last hurrah here locally before we took off across the country. And so, of course, we got drunk and we started calling everybody that we could to bring over money. And there was this girl that I was seeing at the time. And I asked her to swing by and drop off whatever she could do to help us out on our trek. And she ended up bringing over a 30 pack of beer and like $100 or something. So I went in the other room and thanked her, and then told her that we were getting ready to leave. And, you know, she was crying, and we kind of ushered out the door. And then me and my buddy just drank as much of that beer as we could, and then went to the bar, spent the rest of that money, and completely forgot about the trip to going to Vegas. It was just a...
What a scam. That's like some Ed, Ed and Eddie shit for a jawbreaker.
Nice. Hey, you just had a nice night, and you broke up with your girlfriend.
Yeah, that was the same guy that was... So we had left the bar. This was probably, I'd say, within a month of that. So he had lost his license for a DUI, and I had we took my car to the bar, and I think we were there for, I don't know, probably 4 hours or so, and decided that it was time to go home. I was too drunk to drive, so I let him drive my car. We were heading down the road about 55 miles an hour, and he hit a parked car, and it popped. So all my life, I've always worn my seatbelt except for that night. So I popped out through the windshield.
Awesome.
Really?
How fast so was he going?
About 55.
Holy shit.
I can't even. Were you still a large man at this point, or were you a bit skinnier?
No, this is back when I was muscular.
Okay, because I was imagining like a Left 4 Dead boomer like exploding through the window.
Like that fat zombie in the bottom of the well on Walking Dead. Yeah. All right, so we hit the car, and it knocked me out. I was leaning there, so I had went out, and then he pulled me. I was kind of like half in, half out. He pulled me back into the seat. And I had a fuck ton of cuts all over my head and my face and everything. And it gave the appearance that my face had been peeled off, when in actuality, it was just the thin blood and the head wounds caused excessive bleeding. So I'm laying there slumped over in the seat, and he starts freaking out. He thought that I was dead. This is the first time that night that he thought he killed me. So he starts shaking me. This is interesting. So he starts shaking me.
Minefield.
And I wake up and I asked him what happened. And he said that he thinks we hit a car. I'm like, well, let's get the fuck out of here. And he's trying to start the car.
I don't know. The car just stopped all of a sudden. I don't know what the fuck happened.
So I end up getting out, and he's like, dude, you know, I don't have a license. The cops are going to be here. Can you tell them that you drove? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So I'm sitting, I switch places with him, and I'm sitting in the driver's seat, but I'm got my legs out, you know, out on the road, and I'm just kind of sitting there trying to figure out what the fuck happened. And he goes over and sits in the passenger seat and then buckles himself in. So the cops end up rolling up, and they ask me if I was driving. I say, yeah. So keep in mind that over in the passenger seat, the windshield is blown out completely. And then in the driver's seat, there's no damage to the window, but the steering wheel is bent forward completely. And I'm just sitting there completely covered in fucking blood. So the cops start asking me, were you driving? And I'm like, yeah, I was driving. And I was sitting here looking at the concrete, and I could watch this puddle of blood just keep getting bigger and bigger. And it didn't dawn on me where it was coming from. I was just fascinated. Keep Jesus. In mind that I was really fucking drunk, and I had a major concussion.
I'm not surprised.
So the smart detective finally figures out that, you know, I think these guys are up to something. This is the one that was driving, and the guy with his head shaved off is the one that went through the windshield. So they corner my friend and try to get the truth out of him. He starts telling his version of the story, which is, we were driving down the road and this car pulled out in front of us. And like, as if it was written in Hollywood, as he finishes that sentence, up over the crest of the hill comes the lady who owned the car carrying a can of gasoline. So it becomes apparent that he's full of shit. The cops start getting agitated with him. He starts yelling at the cops that he's not telling them a fucking thing. He takes off running. The cops tackle him.
After he told them like an hour's worth of stories.
He ends up punching one of the cops. And of course, then he gets arrested. They take him. It was the middle of winter and we were in the Midwest, so it was cold. So they put him in the holding cell, which is down in the garage. They strip him naked and then put him in the holding cell right there in the elements. And the cop walks up to him and says, "Hey, that friend of yours, he didn't make it," and just left him there all night thinking that he killed me.
That is fucked up.
Wow.
That's a good prank, though. That's definitely like Kaya as an officer, no doubt.
What the fuck?
It'll teach him a lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put the fear of God in him real quick.
Holy fuck. So did they bring you to the hospital then? Like, what was going on with you?
So I went to the hospital. I was, they ended up calling my mom and my dad. And then my mom reached out to a really good friend of mine and had him come too. So by this time I was maybe not starting to get sober, but I was definitely getting sore and getting familiar with what had happened to me. So I'm laying in the emergency room and I think it must be shock or whatever, but I start shaking uncontrollably. And of course I've got to pee because I've been drinking heavily. So they're bringing over little pee jars or whatever the fuck they're called.
Bedpans. Yeah.
But this was more like a half gallon milk container is what it looked like. One of them big things. And I filled that fucking thing up, whatever the container was, I filled it up and it's just sitting there pouring out the top. And the nurse is looking at me and I'm looking at the nurse and I'm still peeing. I'm like, I can't stop it. I don't know what to do.
She's getting turned on. I'm getting hard. Like I see you in Hollywood.
She takes a swig for courage. And
like I said, there was a lot of blood around my head and face. So they had wrapped a towel around it to try to stop some of the bleeding and everything. And it was bleeding through. So when my mom walked in, you know, they ushered her in the back, and she told me later from her viewpoint, it looked like the top half of my head was gone. It was just blood red and bandages and whatnot. And as she walked in, I was yelling at the nurse because they had took my heating lamp. Cause I, like I said, I was shivering and everything. So my mom in the middle of, you know, I'm this big at the time, I considered myself somewhat of a badass and I'm yelling and you know, ready to fight some doctor for stealing my shit. And she just comes around the corner and goes, "Douglas Raymond." And I just instantly like turned into a 4-year-old, you know, like, "What, mom?"
Holy shit. Wow. So what happened to your friend?
So his girlfriend came and bailed him out the next day. And I don't know if she had talked to the cop or come up with this on her own, but she also told him that I died. She said, "Yeah, Doug died." And then she brought him over to the hospital to see me. And he thought he was coming in to visit my family or something. I don't know what the fuck they're thinking. But yeah, it was from the time he got arrested to the time he seen me in the hospital, he thought that I was dead.
That is fucked up.
Wow. That's awesome. And that man's name is Anthony.
Yeah. That is a wild prank. I'm impressed.
Yeah, was it all planned? Like a bachelor party abduction? Oh, that is fucked up, man.
All that to steal a heating lamp.
Yeah.
So me and that guy, that I have probably some of my best stories with him. His name was Jason. Me and him used to, neither one of us were working and we were both raging alcoholics. So we would just go start walking, looking for money. And this is like, 22 years old, you know, like we're just going to go look for money. So we would end up either borrowing, mowing grass, whatever, to get enough money to go to the strip club. And then once we were in the strip club, I could pretend to be a bouncer or we could make friends with somebody. It was like a bring your own beer club. We could make friends with somebody who would offer us beer, whatever it was. So we were at this bar, this strip club, and we had been drinking malt liquor before we got there because that would get us drunk faster. And then we're sitting in this titty bar And this guy comes over and he said, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Can you guys watch my beer? Absolutely.
You asshole.
So he had a brand new 18 pack. He hadn't even cracked it yet. He gets up and goes to the bathroom. I pick up the 18 pack and we just get up and walk outside, getting Jason's truck. And I wish this is something that we could have had recorded or something, but when we were going to back out of the parking spot, the front bumper of Jason's truck hooked on to the rear bumper of somebody's minivan.
Christ. You're such a public nuisance.
You have no fucking clue, man.
You're like a fucking Mr. Bean of alcoholics.
So like I said, as we were backing out, we snagged bumpers. So then all we had to do is pull forward and get unhooked and back up. What Jason chose to do is just throw it in reverse and slam on the gas. So he's sitting there just, and we end up peeling our bumper off like halfway across the truck. It's 90 degrees out. So it looks like a unicorn horn, basically. But we had drugged that guy's minivan out halfway into the parking lot. So as we're going through all this, the guy that comes running out, he's like, that's my van. That's my van. Was the same guy who asked us to hold his beer.
What a heist.
Wow.
I've never once said that I wasn't a piece of shit. I've made that very, very clear.
What were the repercussions from this, though? I feel like that'd be kind of a big deal.
Nothing. Wow. Nothing. We took off.
You got Jesus. The 18 pack?
Yeah, fuck.
Successful. Did you get the beer?
Yeah, we drank it on the way home.
So wait, you weren't drinking and driving. You were drinking while driving.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I was a piece of shit.
Holy fuck.
Did you grow up in like a small town, though? Because I feel like there's no way this would like slide in a bigger city area.
No. This was a pretty populated area.
Really? There's probably like articles about you too, like the fucking degenerate bandits stealing beers and ripping minivans in half and shit.
No. So I used to work at the Holiday Inn, and I was the guy who brought food room service. Mm-hmm. One of the benefits of working at Holiday Inn is that you could get a hotel room at any other Holiday Inn around the country for $15 a night. So about once a month or once every 2 months, me and a buddy of mine would host a party at the Holiday Inn. So long story short, The last time that these parties were allowed happened to be at one of the parties that I was hosting. So we got the room, and if you remember like the flashback scenes in The Hangover, that's what this party was like. There were people there. I have no idea who the fuck they were. I know I was really, really fucked up. So it was an adjoining room, but we weren't supposed to have access to the other room. By the time the party was over, the bed in my room was broken. The TV was broken, and almost everything was lifted out of that adjoining room. Like it was almost empty. So I can remember, we had some strippers show up, and they were not good strippers. Like they were like cigarette burns on the butt. You know, they brought like a little jam box with a cassette tape, and it played whatever fucking R. Kelly or some shit. I don't know. But I remember there was knocking on the door. I go over and answer the door, and it was the hotel security, and he comes in and he's like, God damn. He ends up coming in and throwing some money for the stripper and all that shit.
No, you're definitely making that shit up right there. That's like a frat boy telling a story. Yeah. Yeah. Throwing a party at my parents' house. My parents came in and then they got fucked up.
Yeah. And then the cops came and they said, this party's too sexy. We're taking it down. And then they brought in more strippers.
And everybody clapped.
Yeah.
They said, no, I'm telling you, I would not make it up. So anyway, I remember I may have received oral from the stripper, and I may have told her that I loved her and I wanted to make her my princess.
Okay, you would not make that one up. That's terrible.
That's a sad one to make up.
So the next day, you know, we ended up just trying to like set everything back up in some sort of order, like we hadn't just completely destroyed the fucking room. But I ended up getting a call from my boss when I got home, and they called me in and they said, so starting now, nobody at the Holiday Inn is allowed to rent rooms from other Holiday Inns for, you know, for that employee discount. It's just a regular thing. So I ruined that for everybody.
Fuck and yeah.
I also got fired and, but I never had to pay any, I never had to pay anything for damages or anything.
You're a danger to the public.
I had no idea
the extent of all of this. Holy fuck. What would you consider your most horrible drunk story? Was it the one where you yelled at your dad?
That was a sad one. That's not like a horrible one. That's just sad.
Yeah. No, it could be horrible to him.
Oh, true. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be that one.
Jesus.
God, dude, I guess it depends on for what reason. Like, the one thing that I regret the most? Is that what you're asking, or?
Yeah, I guess. I don't, Jesus, you have like a whole Yu-Gi-Oh deck of drunk stories where you're the asshole. First off, what happened to Jason? Was it your friend? So you got your life together. You have a pretty decent job now. You were a law-abiding citizen for the most part. What happened to him? Did he get his life together?
Last time I talked to him, I know he owns his own business. He's in construction, okay. Doing very well.
All right. Happy end.
Do you still drink or have you quit?
Oh, yeah. I haven't drank in quite a number of years.
Okay.
The reason why is, like, if I was to stop and, all right, I'm just going to have one beer after work at a bar, I just won't stop. Mm-hmm. It, you know, I'll end up closing the bar. Even today, I just don't have enough common sense to limit or have a few drinks with buddies. It's just, okay, I'm going to drink until the beer's gone or until I black out, one of the two.
Mm. So which is the one that you regret the most?
So I was sitting here running through a bunch of them, and I don't know that it's one particular story. It's the attitude that I had when I was drinking. You know, you guys go to a bar and there's always that one asshole who's obviously looking for a fight. Mm. That was me, you know.
And the worst drunk,
wow.
Yeah, just the worst type of person. Yeah. And as I've gotten older, I realized, you know, I think I was dealing with some insecurities and just overall unhappiness in my life, but it led to just being a fucking prick, you know, walking into a bar and having somebody bet me $5, you know, give me $5 and you can pick anybody in here and I'll go up and punch them, that type of shit.
Wow, what the fuck?
Wow, what a fucking piece of shit.
What an asshole. Holy shit.
Oh, wow.
That's like short man syndrome, though, like picking the tallest guy you can and like jumping up and giving him a little wallop.
yeah it's like the most sober guy.
Yeah, let's pick on the sober nerds.
It's like I said, you know, I know I was dealing with some sort of insecurities and overall unhappiness. That's what was leading it or driving it anyway. So now I wouldn't do anything like that. But yeah, I fully admit that I was a complete piece of shit. I was a lot of fun to drink with if we were on the same tide, though.
Well, until you make me believe that you died while I'm in the drunk tank freezing to death, you know.
Or you crash my car, yeah. Blame me for it or something. Yeah. Make me drive you to your dad's.
I did
place.
That too.
God, you asshole. That is beautiful. So speaking of insecurity, before we have to wrap up in a little bit here, how was your experience ever since you came on our show? Because I know that was new to you to be reading that many YouTube comments about yourself.
So I was fully expecting to be shit on by a large portion of the population. And I was very, very pleased with the positivity that I read. It I guess it kind of validated, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, I had a good time with it and I was happy with the results. There was only a handful of people who want me to die.
That's less than normal.
Yeah, that's growth right there. That's progress, baby.
Yeah. One of them was me.
Kaya on his alt accounts. Just trying to keep you humble.
To be fair, I mean, I think I prepped you adequately for what to expect from YouTube, and so you didn't have any wild expectations.
Yeah, you told me to stay the fuck away from the YouTube comments because it'll drive me back to suicide.
Yep. The best advice you can give someone, really.
Yeah, he's got a point.
I had a... I guess I can just tell the story because I think it's a really, really funny story. And it also goes to show how big of a piece of shit that I was. And then it's a quick one, and then we can get off here.
Mm-hmm.
So this was about that same time that all that other shit was happening. I was very actively pursuing this girl. I really, really wanted to put part of me inside part of her.
Oh, boy.
And
this is going to end in rape, is it?
Yeah, put your alcoholism inside of her normal functioning life.
I have this hilarious story about when I was a rapist, guys. Check this one out.
So did you want me to save it then?
No.
All right.
Depending on the statute of limitations.
So it was
it's
was about
a great story he can tell in 3 more months.
it was about a month and a half to 2 months of solidly pursuing her. We partied every weekend together. So there was a lot of interaction. So we ended up going down to my buddy's basement. There was a bed down there.
Jesus.
And I'm telling you, man, I was so fucking turned on. I was like, I had been dreaming about this moment for months. So I got her pants off, got my pants off. I take the rubber and I put it on. I grab the bottom of her underside, her knees, and hold her legs up, press the head of me into her. And just as I start pushing into her, I come. So hold on.
Oh boy.
So I'm sitting there looking her in the eyes and I don't make a fucking sound. I don't blink. I just sit there and I come into the rubber without moving or letting on at all. And I look at her in the eyes and I say, "We really shouldn't do this. We need to wait longer. I don't want to jeopardize our friendship."
Oh no. You went full loser beta boy.
Oh, man. Well, so, to give you credit, though, what is the out to that situation? I feel like you're just fucked.
Just fuck with a loaded condom. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. I want to make you my princess.
Oh, my God. There's cum already in this condom. What did you give me?
Are you trying to get me pregnant?
Some sick bastard came into the basement and came into my condom.
Yeah, so she ended up telling her friends that I was a gentleman, and I ended up making amends, but she was never any the wiser.
Okay.
Well, that works out.
Wow, lucky. Yeah, it doesn't make you look like a piece of shit, just a loser.
Yeah, it's just sad.
All right, I take it back then. I don't know what to...
No, I was legitimately expecting like some creepy scenario here. Like you're wanting to leave and you're just blocking the staircase.
There's one way out of this basement.
Let me introduce you to my son.
That just made you seem like a real gentleman, not...
Yeah.
And you didn't even get friend zoned from it, so that worked out real well.
Oh, fuck.
I certainly wouldn't have had the strength to say that.
Oh, no, I don't know what I would have done. I think I would have just kept faking it, just fucking her with that limp dick.
What do you do in that scenario to look not bad? I don't think there's a single thing you could do.
Yeah.
I guess maybe Doug did figure it out, but even then, that's a risky move, because a lot of women might just be like, "Oh, yeah, he totally came."
Yeah. I'd probably do what Kaya said. I just like wet noodle her until enough was enough.
Yeah, what the fuck? Or like maybe pull out and go, "Hang on, wait, I want to get you ready first," and like eat her out for a while until you can get yourself hard again. I don't know.
Rip off the condom and throw it in her face and finger or something.
No, like, yeah, like stealthily take it off.
Yeah.
No idea.
Maybe just just get mad at her, like, look what you made me do. What's wrong with you?
Why are you so hot?
What is this?
Like a dog? What did you do? No. No.
Rubber face in it.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's nice, man.
All right. Do we have anything else?
Not unless you celebrated Christmas, Kyle.
Nope.
Jackson, mine was just about the
same as Doug's.
Hmm.
Jackson, if you're out there, come home soon. We miss you.
We miss you, Jackson. This was for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Jackson, you can stay gone as long as you'd like.
Oh, right. Who's going to do the outro?
Oh, yeah, Doug, that's going to be rough.
Yeah, Doug, plug your shit.
Doug can hit it.
Yeah, go over to whosrightpodcast.com. I appreciate it. Give us a listen. There's a lot of stories and I don't know, Kai, you tell them what the fuck you listen to our show.
I do, yeah, that's true. And, I mean, if you enjoyed the last hour of Doug's drunk stories, then there are many, many more on the Who's Right podcast at whosrightpodcast.com.
Kai, I think you're coming on here in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, on the, 15th, when I'm back in Germany. Back in a nice, happy country. With Brady, our official podcast moderator.
Oh,
nice.
Fun.
You think he's still going to come on?
I don't think so. So to clue you guys in, all the chat logs I pretended I was reading from Jackson, those were from Brady.
Wow.
Man, Doug and I are assholes. All right, let's wrap this up.
Well, take us out, Doug. Give us an official outro in Jackson style.
Go to patreon.com, official podcast.
The official podcast, yes. Thank you.
The official podcast. Thank you all for listening. Yep. Talk to you later.
There it is, baby. Thanks, everyone.
It's pretty good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.